Well, when do we call someone a false teacher, heretic, and when are we guilty of falsely judging? Once again, we'll tackle that, but today, with the help of Steve Camp.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, here we are, friends, on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, the number to call. There are all types of controversies that are always swirling in the body. Earlier today, I did an interview on the question of hypergrace, my newest book that was being discussed. Over the weekend, I've been interacting a lot with Orthodox rabbis and Jewish counter-missionaries over the book by Tzahi Shapira, The Return of the Kosher Pig, and I was in the middle of that discussion with Tzahi Shapira and with counter-missionary rabbis, etc. Well, the controversy continues to swirl in some circles regarding my appearance on Benny Hinn's TV show. I appreciate the many, many notes, emails we've gotten from people who were richly blessed by the content of the show. I also appreciate the many notes we've gotten from people who were concerned that I appeared on the show at all and who said I should have renounced Benny Hinn as a false teacher. I appreciate them contacting me as well. And one well-known brother in the body, you've known his powerful gospel songs for many years. Many of you are also familiar with him as a teacher and pastor, Steve Camp. Continue to express strong concerns with me about my choice to be on the air and wanted to present his reasoning to our listening audience and wanted to explain why he is convinced that Benny Hinn is not a brother at all and is a false teacher. I said, well, great, we will have a conversation, but the goal is to do it in a way that will glorify Jesus and exalt the truth of God. 866-34-TRUTH. So with that introduction, it is my joy to welcome to the Line of Fire, Steve Camp. Hey, Steve, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, Michael, thank you. This is our first time to actually meet in this kind of environment, but thank you for having me on. Appreciate your ministry and look forward to our discussion together.
Excellent. And again, right now you are pastoring. How long have you been serving as a pastor, Steve?
Well, here at the Cross Church, we're in the Treasure Coast part of Florida, the eastern seaboard, about 2 hours straight south of Orlando and about an hour and a half straight north of Miami in a wonderful community named Palm City near Stuart, Florida. I've been here for 4.5 years and was ordained 4 years ago, October, as lead pastor here of the church. Previous to that, I'd been in Christian music for a number of decades. I can't say years anymore. I have to say decades.
Right.
And I served as an associate pastor for a brief time for about a year and a half under Dr. MacArthur at Grace Community Church, and have known John since the late 80s and many of his team, and appreciate their ministry as well. And though we don't agree on every little thing, I appreciate his love for the Lord and his mentoring and profound impact on my life through the Word of God.
So now, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say this has been the joy of my life, harder than concerts, probably the hardest thing I've ever been involved in, but the most rewarding, Michael, is being used by the Lord as a shepherd here to the smaller congregation of slightly under 100 people. But I tell you, what a joy. And these are dear men and women of God who love the Lord and just honored to be here to serve.
Wonderful. Yeah, and obviously it says a lot to go from doing concerts and having your name in lights, so to say, to then go to pastoring a small congregation. But obviously I believe your heart was the same doing concerts as doing this. You want to glorify Jesus. We come back. I want to ask Steve Camp, Pastor Steve, some simple questions. How does one get saved? How do we know if someone's saved? And then based on that, we'll go to the controversies. Again, the goal is to bring clarity, to bring edification. I don't have an agenda. I don't believe Steve Camp does. Let's move forward.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire. My special guest today, pastor and contemporary Christian songwriter, musician and singer, Steve Camp. 866-34-TRUTH, number to call. Steve, so we can work on some simple definitions, and we'll make this as basic as we can so we can get to the meat of some of the things you want to discuss with me. In order for someone to be saved, we both agree, we have certain different perspectives, you coming from a reform perspective and me not, but we all agree on fundamental things that someone must believe to be saved and cannot believe if they're to be saved. You know, they can't believe that Jesus was just a glorified man, or he didn't die for our sins, or he didn't rise from the dead, or et cetera. So the fundamentals that you would say such and such keep someone in orthodoxy, that if they're outside of it, now we don't know how they're living, we don't know the truth of the confession, but what must we hold to on the most fundamental level to be saved?
Well, I appreciate it. To begin with the gospel here, what a joy. And I believe, Michael, you and I believe that same gospel.
Yes, sir.
You know, Paul says in Romans 10, a very basic thing, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Then verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth, and to confess biblically means to agree with. So when we confess with our mouth, we're agreeing with God as to what he has said about us and said about the way of salvation. And he says that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. There's resurrection. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, meaning to have a right standing before a holy God, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. We hear the simple words of the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul's words again in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, familiar to both of us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, that no one may boast. So we know confession of Christ as Lord, submitting to him, knowing facts about him, born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, that he died to satisfy God in his anger against us upon the cross, rose bodily 3 days later, for without the resurrection, Paul says, we are the greatest of all fools. So we must believe those things about him. We also must believe, Michael, that we are sinners, mm-hmm. and that we are sinners not because we simply commit acts of sin, but as David said in Psalm 51:5, in sin my mother conceived me. And so Paul says again, Ephesians 2, you were dead in the trespasses and sins, and once you once walked, following the course of the world, the prince of the power of the air, and even calls us, we're by nature children of wrath. So we must not only know the right things about the Lord, but we must know that we are sinners and full of sin. And the only way that the anger of a holy God against a sinner can be quenched, as Paul says in Romans 5:1, to have peace with God forever, is to be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One other verse I would mention here, and I love sharing this with non-believers and encouraging them to faith in the Lord, Titus chapter 3. It says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. And here's the qualifier, not because works done by us in righteousness. It doesn't have to do with philanthropic giving or being a good moral or civil person. I think it was Matthew Mead who said, repent of your sin, not because you're moral or civil, but because you're no more than moral or civil. So it's not done by works in righteousness and any religious works, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So the right things need to be acknowledged by the Lord, the notitia, the right truths about the Lord, and then the essentia, that the fiducia, that we actually honor those things as being true, and then the essentia, we submit ourselves to those things. We need to repent of our sin, come to Christ, trust him as Lord and Savior of our life. And that doesn't happen by walking an aisle or signing a decision card or just simply quoting a little sinner's prayer, but it's the submission of life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
All right, so if one person believes that speaking in tongues is for today and another doesn't, those are not matters of salvation. If one person believes in a pre-trib rapture, so the essentials, the fundamentals, these are the things that we would major. So if someone denies one of the fundamentals, they deny the resurrection of Jesus, they say, well, look, we just need a little help, we're not that bad. They deny fundamentals, obviously, that person does not understand the gospel, that person is not saved. Now, interestingly, when I was on the air with Benny Hinn, there's one show hasn't aired yet that focused entirely on the subject of what grace is and error of hyper-grace and then issues of repentance and fear of the Lord. But in another program, the subject of repentance came up in the life of the believer. I just want to play this clip as he was asked by his son-in-law, Michael Koulianos, about repentance.
What is repentance?
Repentance is total change. Repentance is brokenness before God, and it's spiritual. I cannot repent, by the way, in the flesh. It's impossible. I repent when the Spirit of God breaks me. You know the song, Spirit of God fall fresh on me, break me, melt me. It's the Holy Spirit literally purging your soul. Removing the very seed of sin out.
So is there still a surrender involved?
Yes, of course, because it's a decision I make, but I yield to the Holy Spirit. I can't repent. So, well, I'm sorry. No. Look, Saul repented and so did David, but which one did God accept? One said, I'm sorry to a man, and one broke before God. And what did David say? A contrite heart you'll not despise.
Now, of course, Steve, I could play many clips like this, and I have some other clips just of a simple, clear gospel message that Benny Hinn preaches on these fundamentals, and that those that follow him the last few years that traveled with him that had contacted me actually just wanted us to sit together over a cup of coffee. I don't drink coffee, but sit wasn't even about being on TV. That came kind of in a secondary way. They've told me he preaches a clear, simple gospel message of salvation, and everything that came up in our interaction between the two of us would be interaction that I would have with a fellow believer. Fundraising issues, other things, many of the stuff what I've seen, I deplore the same as you do. But what I'm trying to understand is from your point of view, because I know you're passionate about this and you've looked at this carefully, that in your mind, you would not just say he has fundraising methods that you differ with or other things, but you would say that you can categorically brand him as an unsaved person, a heretic, false prophet, false teacher. So we've got 2 minutes before the break. Why don't you begin to explain why you feel that way?
Well, three things in Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2 gives us a very clear definition of what a false teacher is. It's one who deceives with destructive heresies. We can talk about that with Mr. Hinn. Secondly, there's always an aspect of greed or money involved. Certainly, even as shy as 3 weeks ago, Benny is selling prayer shawls that he feels is essential for blessing in your life for $50 a piece. He's guilty there of idolatry, thinking we need a physical artifact that's driven by money to have favor with God in prayer. And then thirdly, that's marked with sensuality, way beyond issues of infidelity. It's just the senses of the person being adhered to as apart from the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:17, well, we are not like many who kapalos the word of God. We're not peddlers of the truth for financial gain. We're not taking the truth of Scripture and turning it into cheap retail merchandise. There's something there that in the word faith camp. I'm not against charismatics, and I'm not against Pentecostals who are biblical in their faith, even though we may disagree on spiritual gifts. But what I am against are people that equate money with spirituality and that ask people for money to gain favor with God, whether it's answered prayer, physical healing, blessing in their life. This is contrary to Scripture. In fact, 1 Timothy 6 plainly says, there are some who are depraved of the truth and deprived of their minds who think godliness is a means to financial gain. That clearly is one of the gospels that Mr. Hinn proclaims, and that's the word faith prosperity gospel, and it's not of heaven, it is of hell.
All right, loud and clear, Steve. We'll interact on that when we come back. In fact, let's start in the reverse order, since I have also written against the carnal prosperity message in the strongest possible terms. The question is this a matter of saying we believe if you sow financially, you reap financially, given it shall be given to you, and a host of other scriptures about finances, that as we give generously, God gives to us generously? Or is this a confusion of the very essence of the gospel, that serving God is a means to financial gain?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I very much appreciate my guest, Pastor Steve Camp, joining me on the air, feeling so passionate about these issues that he wanted the opportunity to present them to my listening audience, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go back to my guest in one moment. Just two short clips I want to play from Benny Hinn's meetings. By the way, I am not the appointed defender of Benny Hinn or his ministries. I'm just getting to know the man for myself and sorting out what are true accusations, what are false accusations, what he believes today, where he stands today. And I would hope that if I was interacting with you in a public way, you would want me to do the same thing. But just very quickly,
People who reject Jesus Christ forever will be separated from God, burning in a lake of fire. Only through Jesus Christ is there salvation. Nobody will get to heaven by accident. It's a decision. And I'm here to tell every one of you, Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. There is no other way to God. And I'm here to tell you boldly, it's not Muhammad, it's not Buddha, it's not some god of some Hindu something. My brother, there's only one name and only one person through whom you can be saved, and that name is Jesus and only Jesus.
All right, now, obviously, Steve, you and I agree with those statements and with fear and trembling in terms of the consequences of rejecting the gospel and salvation only coming through Jesus. But please help me understand something. Since, again, for decades in writing and many other ways, I have spoken against the carnal prosperity message. I've often quoted from 1 Timothy 6. In a recent article, I mentioned by name carnal fundraising techniques that I absolutely deplore, mentioned by name Steve Muncy and Mike Murdoch, who I understand have been guests or have worked together with Benny Hinn. What I'm trying to understand, and maybe you've heard this better than I have, maybe you've listened more, I've made a distinction between a message that said Jesus died to make you rich, which is a damnable heresy, versus salvation comes through the blood, through the cross, turning from sin, repentance, new life in Jesus, which you outlined earlier, but the belief that if I sow finances that God provides my needs, that he repays generosity with generosity and makes us a blessing so we can have more to bless the world. Are you saying that Benny Hinn preaches the former message, or are you saying that the second message that I'm relating is also damnable?
Well, you mentioned a name, Steve Muncy. By the way, your Friday show was canceled to have Steve Muncy on Benny Hinn.
Yeah, no, it wasn't canceled. There were four thematic shows that were done. The fifth, for some excellent reasons, by the way, is being held off for another day. But yes, I did not miss the fact that Steve Muncy was on front. Trust me, I did not miss the fact. Okay. And I immediately wrote to some folks about it. That would be the ultimate thing I would not want to see. But it did happen, and that could be very indicative of things. So fair enough.
That's right. And I think here, he made a point. I don't know if you saw the broadcast, but he made a point to say, I'm sitting in Benny's chair. I'm sitting on Benny's set. I'm sitting at Benny's table. And I thought we were going to see Benny appear with a host of angels. He was treating him almost in a you know, small g, godlike fashion. It was embarrassing. But the thing is, by your own admission here, Steve Muncy preaches a different kind of gospel based on money. Benny has never repudiated that. Even, again, to this day, he will use gimmicks like prayer shawls, pink, blue, and purple. By the way, they were offered in three colors, $50 a piece, $120 for all three, Michael, and I know you don't support that. I guess that's the thing that you see with Mr. Hinn continually through his quote-unquote crusades or his TV show or whatever. There is a huge thrust of money. Even when you were on the broadcast, you know, he was promoting your book, The Real Kosher Jesus. By the way, I downloaded that. I enjoyed reading it. I thought it was an excellent book. And I got it for $9.99. Benny was offering a love gift for $35. There's always...
By the way, just for the record, I have no clue where those are being purchased or through whom. But when I went on the air, I didn't know that any books were going to be offered or not. In other words, I said this would go well with the topic. I found out once the show started that they were being offered. But let me just say this. As far as the book, I have no problem with someone saying, here, we're asking for a gift of this amount. In other words, you understand you're giving a gift to support the ministry. You can, of course, buy the book much more cheaply somewhere else. I don't have a problem. The prayer shawl thing is a separate issue to me. But if he said, for your gift of $100, here, you know, we want to send you this book, I think people understand the book doesn't cost that much. But be that as it may, I just want, and you understand, and if you've read stuff I've written over the years, that I have, by word and by name, renounced certain fundraising techniques. And I don't know the overall message of Steve Muncy. I certainly know, I've seen him a few times fundraising on Christian TV years ago. I was nauseated by it. It actually caused me to separate from doing some work with someone because of that thing. So these are deep issues to me, but...
Well, I understand, and I appreciate that, and that's one reason why many of us respect you and that we were so stunned that you did appear with Benny, who does join hands and partner with men like Muncy, because there is a common shared belief in prosperity gospel. Now, listen, I don't know of any prosperity teacher that says, by giving money to our ministry, you'll receive salvation, or if you come to salvation in Jesus, you'll get a huge financial cash gift in the mail this week. I don't know anyone that is that crass and blatant, but the subtlety of false teachers is to mix a little truth with something like the prosperity gospel, the word faith gospel, that is based on money. Now, we have to understand that
teaching... tell you what, let me just jump in. We've got a break. We'll come back to that. And I still, let's define this as clearly as we can so we can agree on what the dangers are and what the issues are. I think what we disagree with is totally clear. We may agree on all of this. And Steve, you'll be happy to hear my special offer today. As we've been talking a lot about the issue of grace and hyper-grace, a lot of readers are now getting my book, Go and Sin No More, which is a grace-based book on how to live a holy life. In fact, it's filled with quotes from some of the Puritan authors that Steve would love as well. We keep hearing from readers who are reading the book, their lives are being changed. There's a fresh hatred for sin and a fresh love for God, and they're being carried by grace. The book, Go and Sin No More, is accompanied by an audio series, some of the best teaching I did on the themes of the book. Together, the book and the audio CD to listen to on your MP3 player, I think over 12 hours of teaching. Together, they are $40 postage paid. Your gift of any size, it's our joy to send them out. Just be as generous as you can to help us in our work. Your gift of any size, the book and the audio CDs. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. We don't have this on our website, just by phone, 1-800-278-9978. Thanks, as always, for standing with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being part of the broadcast today. My guest, Pastor Steve Camp. I was just looking during the break at one of my favorite songs. I know him better as a songwriter, musician, singer, Consider the Cost. Words that I agreed with, affirmed, was so glad to see these things being put out. So glad to see that the example that he set in so many ways in terms of the what I've written about called the gospel enterprise or the American gospel enterprise. So, Steve, welcome back to the broadcast. I do applaud you for those things, and I know that fuels some of your fire. And to the extent people have known me, they know that those things fuel my fire as well, hence the question, well, how could I appear on someone's TV broadcast? And again, a little later in the show, I'll explain once more my reasons for that. But I want to give you more time to help clarify something. I'm not challenging. I'm simply asking for clarification so that we can help our listening audience and work through these issues together. I do see many promises in Scripture about giving and finances. Paul talks about God's generosity towards us in both of his letters to the Corinthians and says, those who sow sparingly reap sparingly. He's talking financially. Many verses in the book of Proverbs talk about how God rewards generosity. And when it's preached correctly, we understand that as we give and honor the Lord, that it opens up a flood of generosity that can come through us now to touch many people. So the goal is never greed or material advance or putting some whatever the newest car is on my refrigerator and confessing it as mine, nonsense like that. It's about giving and receiving those principles. Do you affirm those principles in a healthy way, and you separate that from the carnal prosperity message? Am I understanding you correctly there?
Yeah, we give at our church. Michael, I encourage the congregation to give here, not to support their pastor, not to support ministry, but to give as an act of worship. I think this is Paul's admonition to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 8, that God loves a cheerful giver. We're no longer under a mandated amount. That was a tithe in the Old Testament, similar to the Old Testament tax. But here there's a freedom in giving. There's a joy in giving, and we're to give as God has given to us. Even Jesus' example of the woman just with the mite in her hand, and she gave all. He didn't praise the Pharisee who could give or the tax collector who could give $50,000. He praised the woman who gave all, even if it was a little tiny penny, a coin worth less than a penny. It's the attitude of the heart. So it's an act of worship to a holy God. Now listen, if we give and the Lord gives back to us, and I think we cannot assume in 2 Corinthians 8 that to sow sparingly is to reap sparingly, it's simply dollar for dollar, finance for finance. Mm-hmm. There are many blessings and answered prayers and things that come to us simply by honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives us those things. However, it would be idolatry, and it would be a perversion of the gospel and a perversion of the ministry and the mediatorial work of our Lord, and I have to say the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If I had a chance to talk to Mr. Hinn, I would emphasize that word holy in regards to the Spirit of God, that we give to God as an act of worship, and we don't give simply to get back. I was on the PTL Club show years ago. I repented of that, only was on one time. But I was sitting next to Jim and Tammy, and during one of the little breaks, Jim said to me, Steve, you know, if you give $100 to my ministry, God will give you $1,000 back. And he said it with a straight face.
Seriously?
Seriously. And I said, Where does it say stupid written on me? Well, here, he says, you don't believe that? And I said, no. And I said, sir, you don't believe it either. And he said, why
and
is
to
that?
To jump in, Jim Baker, of course, has repudiated that as well. I don't know exactly where he stands today, but I know he repented that. All right, that was our short segment, Steve. We've got two longer ones coming up. Back with Steve Camp in a moment.
Send it, Lord. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, just quick note, Chaplain Viviana, I'm quite aware of the comments of New York Governor Cuomo that if you are what he calls, what, a radical conservative, if you oppose abortion, if you oppose redefining marriage, even if you're not with him on gun control, you're not welcome in New York. Yes, in the March for Life in D.C. this Wednesday, 866-34-TRUTH. One quick clip, Ravi Zacharias on Joyce Meyer's TV broadcast, then back to my guest.
Dr. Ravi Zacharias is with me today, and we're getting ready to discuss the question, what is truth? What is truth?
You know, it's interesting in the Gospel of John, the 18th chapter, and you're such a great Bible teacher in these things.
My guest, Steve Camp, gospel recording artist and pastor and teacher and blogger. Steve, I don't want to get too far afield, but I imagine that you contacted Ravi Zacharias and were very upset with him for appearing on Joyce Meyer's TV show. Is that a fair?
Oh, I tell you, it's just painful to listen to, Michael. And yes, I did contact him directly. I didn't hear back, but to have him say that you're such a great Bible teacher to someone who believes in massive, spewed, nefarious doctrine that's not in accordance with the essentials of the faith, like Joyce Meyer, like T.D. Jakes, who denies the Trinity. I mean, we think that these things are okay because of the acceptance of an unfettered media, whether it be through Twitter or Facebook or radio or whatever it is. Whoever can pay the piper gets to be the voice on air. And nothing could be further from the truth. Listen, doctrine is important. Truth matters. The gospel matters. I know you believe this. Doctrine matters. And so I think that we're living in a time where people think it's almost unloving to call somebody to sound doctrine, and if it means offending them, so be it. You said something last week, Michael, on the radio show that I thought was just absolutely tremendous. And I think it's a real blessing as to your commitment to sound doctrine. You said this quote: "Everything must be evaluated not by our platform, but by what Scripture says and the fruit of its message." End quote. I couldn't agree more. Let's evaluate this not by private dinners, not by sitting down with someone at an interview, not by close friends that may have something positive or negative to share, but by a clear examination through the lens of Scripture and the fruit thereof. You asked that right at the beginning of this broadcast. Not only the gospel, but the fruit of the gospel. And one of those fruits is grace trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. I have a question, quick question for you.
Sure.
If Benny has repented of the spurious little God's doctrine, of the nature of Christ, is Satan on the cross, as Rodney Howard Brown and others believe, as having to go to hell, as E.W. Kenyon taught, and Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, to be born again in hell, all of this. But the Word Faith constituency as well, the prosperity gospel, which redefines the ministry of the Godhead, especially in the gospel. Have you ever heard someone on the TBN network repudiate the Word Faith prosperity gospel and continually teach against it and is able to sustain their show on that network?
I'm not sure. Is Jack Hayford on TBN still? Does he have a show?
Or, I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure everyone that is on, to be honest with you. And I struggled when I had a TV show myself. I think Kirk does. Isn't Ray Comfort on TBN regularly?
I don't know. By the way,
I'm pretty sure. Again, a lot of this stuff.
Been.
Yeah, I think Ray Comfort regularly buys airtime on it. I know Kirk Cameron's been on. And let me just say this, Steve. I want this conversation to be constructive, and that's why you're on. It wasn't to have an argument with you, and it wasn't for me to defend Benny Hinn, and it certainly wasn't for me to try to prove you wrong. Neither of us have time for that, nor would we do that before a national audience. It's too important to minister to people. I just want to give this perspective, all right? When I had explained, I know Justin Peters very sincerely wrote a blog post that was circulated a lot by the Grace to You folks that ignorance is not an option. It had nothing to do with ignorance on my part, because I give you the list of everything I was aware that in times past Benny Hinn had taught or was accused of teaching, and then financial issues, even the Grassley investigations and things like that. I'd even played some clips from him on the air previously and said I differed with these things. However, when I was getting continual reports from people close to him in terms of the message that he preached and other things having been repudiated, and because over the years I've been maligned, things I was involved with were maligned, I'm trying to reach across to folks in the Strange Fire camp who are accusing dear friends of mine of being hellbound false teachers. So I'm trying to say, okay, I'm going to go past all of this. I'm going to meet with people face-to-face. And at the same time, sometimes the best way to do it is to sit together in a setting, even as I did speaking to a TV audience. As I'm hearing from people around the world saying, I was touched by this ministry, I was saved by this ministry, God healed me. Then I said, okay, I'm going to find out face-to-face, especially when I was told off the air that Benny Hinn really wanted to get to know me outside of that contact. I said, wonderful. If there are issues, I'll be in a position to address them. I don't mind being misunderstood. I didn't say anything in a single moment in a single show that could be construed as agreeing with anything that I would differ with. In fact, I didn't hear anything. There may have been an interpretation of a scripture being more Christological than I would have read it. But to me, I had the opportunity to speak to a large number of people I wouldn't normally get to speak to, proclaim truths that are very important, and we're hearing from many who were touched through that. And with the hope of developing a relationship, I know 20-something years ago, as Hank Hanegraaff met with Benny Hinn, that he repudiated certain doctrines, said I was wrong about Jesus dying spiritually. He teaches plainly, Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. He didn't say to be continued. I thought, okay, well, let's find out. Maybe there can be a relationship. If there are still issues, then I will get to address them. And if there's positive change, wonderful. If not, well,
gave it a try.
So,
you know, Michael, here's the issue. Here's the issue in a nutshell form. You're a learned man. You're a smart, trained man in the Word of God. You've been used mightily in ministry. And again, I'm not a hardline continuationist, and I'm not a hardline cessationist. I thought some of the criticisms you brought up at the Strange Fire Conference had some validity to it. And by the way, I want you to know, when Dr. MacArthur appeared on TBN, I also contacted him, voicing my displeasure. I'm an equal opportunity
offender. You've been consistent. Yeah, because the issue was that he appeared on TBN and he did not renounce. In fact, Kirk Cameron set that up. And I was not aware of this. Someone sent me the link on the last week or the week before.
That's right. Kirk set it up,
you know, people would be shocked to see you here. And he smiled and didn't renounce the program. And bear in mind, mine were pre-recorded. Anything that's going to come up controversially pre-recorded is not going to make it anyway. But I have been on live shows and said things that were trouble.
Well, listen, what John shared on TV on that night was tremendous. He really brought the gospel home. But he was also, they were promoting his book, Hard to Believe. I think it muddies the waters. I'm not questioning his motive, but it muddies the waters, and I tried to address this with him. In 1 week's time, another brother, Al Mohler, had a Roman Catholic Defense League priest on telling his congregation on a Sunday night worship service how to defend a Democrat filibuster, and John was on TBN, and I thought, man, who spiked the water? What's happening here?
All right, so anyway, just to be clear
so
then,
Here's my issue with you. I respect the fact that you want to say, before I bring judgment upon someone, I want to do due diligence so I can examine what they teach with the Word of God, and you felt you haven't done that as specifically and succinctly and accurately as you could have over the years with Benny Hinn, knowing many of the controversies around him, but to your own admission that you're saying, I haven't done that thoroughly, and before I give any kind of public outcry on that, I want to be well informed. Is that accurate?
Sure, that's accurate.
Okay. Now,
I know things were taught and done absolutely that I differed with years back. I heard some were renounced. I don't know what's accurate or not. So exactly,
okay.
I could detail the issues.
Yeah, I appreciated Justin Peters' article very much, and I'm not going to label it ignorance because I know you don't like that, but let's say an uninformed opinion, as much as you would like to see it informed, isn't there, so you don't want to kind of heap on the bandwagon against Mr. Hinn and say he's a false teacher. But, however, that same void of truth did not prohibit you from being on the show, and you guys, I mean, this is where I was so embarrassed, Michael, high-fiving each other. You're referring to him as Pastor Hinn. I think that that kind of affirmation out of the same void that you want to do due diligence to see if he's a false teacher should have been done ahead of time before affirming that he's a legitimate pastor and an Orthodox preacher.
Got it. Great question. So I'll respond to that. Perfect question, Steve. Well phrased. The exact right question to ask.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. My guest, pastor and songwriter, musician, singer, Steve Camp. Great to have him on the air. First time we've talked by phone. We've had some social media interaction. And to be candid, for those who followed it, social media interaction, especially Twitter, is not often the best way to go. Things are so concise. Sometimes you're doing it in the middle of 20 other things. And I don't always find it fruitful. I find this much, much more fruitful. So right before the break, Steve asked me a question. And Joey, let's use the tease for the first hour. We'll continue this discussion into the second hour. Steve, right before the break, you asked me the question of saying, okay, you think I did, you could understand my perspective to say, I've heard all kinds of things over the years about Benny Hinn, certain things I absolutely differed with and rejected, but I don't know what he currently teaches, what he holds to. For example, in the blog you mentioned, we both mentioned by Justin Peters, he says, Benny Hinn, quote, teaches, it's present tense, all of the standard word faith doctrines such as positive confession, the little gods doctrine, the spiritual death of Jesus doctrine, and guaranteed health and wealth for the believer. I've seen clear statements where he renounced some of that over 20 years ago. I've just been asking folks to help me with my research to give me more current examples. I've asked his ministry, has he taught those things since 93, or which has he? But you said that you could understand me saying what I need to find out for myself, but then why did I speak to him as a brother on the radio? Why did I, on the TV rather? And the high-fiving, by the way, I was not initiating high-fiving. He was getting tremendously excited about the subject matter we were talking about in the Word. He didn't know who I was until a couple of weeks ago when he was planning on doing shows months in advance on the seed of the Messiah in the Old Testament. The guest that he was going to have on, Dan Kalenda and Michael Kuliana, said, you should really have Dr. Brown. He didn't know who I was, started watching some stuff, got excited about the prospect. So it was kind of a discovery on his end as we were going as well. But here's what I did. You can differ with me, but I'll tell you very, very simply what I did. My posture when I hear good and bad is to believe the best first, and then if it's not true, to come to that conclusion and understanding. So since people that I knew close to him had attested to him as a genuine believer, since I knew someone else that traveled with him for over 20 years and said the very same thing, then I said, okay, I have these other questions, but I'm going to start there with a clean slate and move from there. That's the decision that I made. And from what I can tell, they're doing the broadcast together was the best way even to open up issues of commonality to move forward from. Now, if he's a deceiver and he's deceived me and others, God knows that. If I'm a deceiver, if you're a deceiver, God knows that. But that's the decision I made based on those reasons. That's what I try to do with everyone I deal with. You can completely reject it. I'm just being totally open with you in terms of why I did it.
Well, I think,
so,
No, I appreciate that transparency. Here's the follow-up question to that. It's the question of how we do ministry and what governs it. How do we unfold ministry with others, and who do we partner with? Now, I believe that true ministry, first of all, the acid test for orthodoxy, Galatians 1:6-9, is on the gospel. The gospel in Reformation language is sola fide, by faith alone. We must first partner with the gospel, but we also must partner with sound doctrine. You mentioned 1 Timothy 6 a little bit ago.
Sure.
And Paul warns about those who do not affirm the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then here it is, and the doctrine which accords godliness. Godliness is a doctrine. And I want you to know, though there was a brief respite where my friend Hank Hennegraaff went to Benny, and there was maybe 8 or 9 months in 93, he was back to his old tricks in follow-up years. To the best of my knowledge, and again, I can say this with a high degree of authority, he's never repudiated since then the word faith, gospel of prosperity message. And that was evident on his show just a few weeks ago. It was evidenced last Friday with Steve Muncy on, where Steve was promising financial blessing, victory over crisis, breakthrough of healing, and this is per Mr. Hinn's approval, for a contribution of $300. Now, we all know, Michael, that healing is not dependent on a gift of money. We know that breakthrough spiritually of sin in our lives is not tied to finances. We also know that crises come in our life to purify us, to test what's in our heart, and therefore, James 1, we're to welcome trials as visitors. Now, when we're told that it's this kind of Zoroastrian kind of good, evil, bad, I mean, good God, bad, evil dualism that Mr. Hinn propagates, if there's something negative in your life, it surely can't be of the Lord, it must be of Satan. If there's something positive, it must be of Jesus or the work of the Holy Spirit, when really it could be God allowing those good and perfect gifts that come from above, those trials allowed in our lives, to put us in the wine press of sanctification, that grace press which conforms us to godliness in Jesus Christ every day. I know that Benny mentions holiness from time to time, and he'll say certain things. But, you know, it's not only what we affirm, but what we deny. And I would love to see evidence of this, where Mr. Hinn or anyone else in the Word Faith camp has continued to have a ministry on TBN, I call it the Blasphemy Network, on TBN, and that they have repudiated the very doctrines upon which that network has been established and continues to raise millions of dollars, which is the Word Faith Prosperity Gospel. We know.
All right, tell you what, we're going to continue the discussion, Steve, as you're able to stay on a little longer. I've got to wrap up this hour. At least I know that in your equal opportunity camp, that I've been put in the same camp as John MacArthur, Robert Zacharias. By the way, there's a whole laundry list of Greg Kuchel and a ton of guys, top apologists that appeared on TBN with Paul Crouch Jr. So you need to add them to your list as well. And the question is, by appearing on someone's TV show, did I partner with them? I was certainly not use that word. I've appeared on many TV shows and appreciated the platform, but I want to get to some calls. Dylan in the UK, thanks for holding. I want to get to some other calls as well and continue the discussion. And here's what I want to come down to. What saves us, what damns us? I still need more clarity in our discussion with Steve Camp. Friends, get hold of my book, Go and Sin No More. It will, I believe, deeply impact your life with a deeper understanding of what God says about holiness and how we can live this out empowered by grace and free from legalism. The book and an audio CD series with it, the value with postage, $40, yours for your gift of any size. Just ask you to be generous and help us with our ministry work. 1-800-228-9978. 1-800-228-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-228-9978. My bottom line today, we will pursue truth without compromise and without concern of the consequence. Nothing matters more than pleasing God. Well, when do we call someone a false teacher, heretic, and when are we guilty of falsely judging? Once again, we'll tackle that, but today, with the help of Steve Camp.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I have been having an extended conversation with Steve Camp, well-known gospel recording artist, a man who renounced the greed and the celebrity exaltation of the industry years ago and has set a great example for many. He is currently pastoring in Orlando, Florida, and he is my guest today to discuss who do we partner with in ministry, what is a true and false gospel. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to raise a question or two with a caller and then go right back to Steve. And I want us to reflect on what Francis Chan had to say recently as he ministered together with Mike Bickle. People had warned him not to. He did. And I'm very glad he did. Mike is a dear friend of mine. Listen to what Francis Chan had to say.
There's people that told me not to hang out with him, like, you know words like creepy come up, and yet I get to know this guy and I'm going, man, I love his heart, and I just want to publicly say I love Mike Bickle, you know.
Not just his heart, of course, he loves many things he stands for. If he thought he was a Muslim, he wouldn't have said the same thing about loving his heart. All right, before I bring Pastor Steve back on, Dylan in the UK, thanks for holding. I know you have a question for us now, so let's get your question and we'll move forward with the program based on that. Go ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking my call, both. I'm calling from the UK, and I am Australian, so I've got a bit of a different perspective, if that's all right.
Of course it is.
Basically, I don't understand, I don't know in depth a lot about Benny Hinn, and I don't understand a lot about the other side of the story. Obviously, a lot of the things I've heard about Benny don't sound great, but I'm not someone who would watch him on television anyway, and I'm not from America. So what happens is, I just want to give you a bit of, throw something at you from my perspective, because I'm curious what the response would be. And I'm sorry if I'm a little nervous, because I am, okay?
We're just talking, just the two of us talking. Don't worry about it.
My point is that every day I follow you guys on Twitter and social media, and I go on, and I see these comments and these conversations, and I hear these points, and I see a lot of sarcasm, and I see a lot of wide brushes being used. And an example of that, and I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but might be the TBN, the Blasphemy Network, which sounds mm-hmm. to me like a bit of a wide brush being used.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the full depth, so I can't come in and weigh in on Dr. Michael, you getting involved with Benny on the shows. But I understand there was an attempt to be involved and to discuss it maturely, which is, I know what you're both trying to do now. So my question would be, if we rule that out, in what way is the appropriate way forward to discuss this on social media, to talk about this, to refute him? Because as an Australian, and especially in the UK, we don't do sarcasm very well, and we're not as...
Yes,
sorry,
sir.
Culturally, we're not as sensationalist. And I'm sorry if that sounds out of turn, but
No. I understand.
So we see social media and we see these things like I noticed on Pastor Steve, on your Twitter feed, there's a few jokes and jibes about visions and money and these kind of things. And I just wonder, are they the only two options? Do we have to be cynical and sarcastic and joke? Or do we have to appear on a TV show? What is the way forward?
Yep, got it. Dylan, great question. I put up a post yesterday about this very issue. Disagreement can be expressed constructively, but what benefit is there in constantly ridiculing believers we differ with?
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, yesterday I posted this on social media. Disagreement can be expressed constructively, but what benefit is there in constantly ridiculing believers we differ with? And Dylan, I absolutely agree with your sentiments. Look, I'm a New York Jew. Sarcasm comes very easy for me. But I dropped out. I ended up just blocking bunches of people, which I hate to do because I love the disagreement, back and forth discussion. That's healthy. But when people just come in and ridicule and mock, and that's what they do, they're damning me to hell for appearing on Benny Hinn shows and then laughing and mocking. I see nothing constructive, nothing helpful about that at all. By the way, just for the record, I just pulled up TBN programming. Let's see, 9 in the morning is Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. 9:30 a.m., Bill and Gloria Gaither, Precious Memories. 10:30, Jonathan Bernis, dear friend of mine, rock solid in the Lord. 11 o'clock, James Robeson, and then others I would definitely not agree with. But Steve, we've got a bunch of things still to unpack. I know you've been very careful in how you phrase things. I can only say that this interaction that we're having strikes me as totally different than a lot of what's happening, in particular on Twitter, which I find to be, as Dylan said, sarcastic, mocking, often non-constructive. But these are public things. My appearing on Benny Hinn was public. John MacArthur appearing on TBN was public. You're a public known figure. I'm perfectly happy to have the dialogue publicly as we are now. But I see so much that's just destructive in social media. So let's address that part first, then okay. Go back to the other substantive issues. Fair enough?
Yeah, that sounds great. Hey, one thing, and I appreciate his call. I found it interesting that he said the Brits are not sarcastic by nature. I take exception with that. I think I learned sarcasm from traveling through England. I've done concerts at the Albert Hall in front of the royal family. I've done them at soup kitchen lines and at, you know, Polytechs and different places, on the street doing mission work to the punks and the treads and whatever else. I love England, and I love its long, rich history for the gospel. Interesting, I thought his Freudian slip was appropriate, Benny Hill, rather than Benny Hinn. I thought that was quite interesting. Here's where I would say...
But isn't that the very thing, though, that we're talking about? In other words, with all respect, Steve, and I absolutely honor your sincerity in raising issues. I fully recognize how you're burdened and grieved by these things. I'm not minimizing some of the things that we've discussed. But to me, that lowers the whole discussion when you say, Benny Hinn, Benny Hill. Now it feeds into that whole ridiculing, mocking mentality that takes us away from the substance of scriptural issues. That's the very thing I got away from or tried to get away from on social media. So please take that as a compliment
rather
than an insult. I think we need to step higher to be constructive.
Well, I appreciate that. I was just repeating what our friend said, and I derive some enjoyment from it. You know, in 1 Kings 18:27, you know these words. Listen to this. At noon, Elijah mocked them. These are the prophets of Baal, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, you know, he's contemplating, thinking, or he is relieving himself. Maybe he's in the restroom. Or he is on a journey, or perhaps he's fallen asleep and must be awakened." I love that dripping sarcasm. Here's Elijah on Mount Carmel, and under the Spirit of God is absolutely tearing these prophets of Baal up. In fact, 850 prophets at the end of this, when they went down the mountain, he slit their throats. Talk about being a bummer on a conversation. That's that kind of sarcasm we see in Scripture. How would we respond to the Pharisees and Sadducees coming out to John the Baptist, and the first thing he says to them isn't, "Hey, this is great. They are coming out to meet with me. Let's have a recovering Pharisee meeting. Maybe we can talk." He says, "You brood of vipers, me immediately calls them, you know, children of the devil. Who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Paul did as much. Peter did as much with Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8, and then in Acts 13, listen to what the Apostle Paul first calls here this this magician. In Acts 13, he refers to him as a son of unrighteousness. He turned to him, looking at him, filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" Now, we don't see this kind of feminization of Christian leaders in Scripture where tone trumps truth. Now,
all right, so to be clear, first, I see Calvinist sites mocking in the harshest, most abusive terms non-Calvinists. I mean, ugly, despicable. And when you raise these issues, they give the exact same answer. Look at what Elijah did on Mount Carmel. Look at how Paul dealt with the Galatians. I'm sure, not as much, but I'm sure it's out there, people damning Calvinists to hell the exact same way, mocking their doctrine. What I see is the fruit of the Spirit is love. I see Paul addressing the Corinthians as saints and commending them and then correcting. And I will not compare someone that I believe has an abusive fundraising technique to someone that is worshiping Baal unless I know for a fact that that person is not a follower of Jesus. And see, the danger is that we now you're going to now be Jesus, Paul, Peter, Elijah to others who are professing believers. Look, I was involved in the Brownsville Revival. I was an eyewitness in thousands of meetings and classes. I've watched the lives of those touched now for 15 years and longer, seeing them around the world serving as missionaries, ministering to the poorest of the poor, and on, seeing the fruit of that. And others will just mock it as satanic, or they'll say, "Oh, did you and Benny Hinn throw your coats at each other?" And idiotic statements like this. And
let me bring I appreciate your comment. Let me bring a balance to this. Three groups of people. To the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must show great patience and care, as I have to as a pastor when walking through doctrines. I disciple groups of people every week. We have a Cross Life Fellowship group that meets at our home. We pray for each other. We ask questions. Folks will come up after church. I ask them to be a Berean to me to examine what I teach to make sure it's in accordance with Scripture. We have to stay teachable and humble before others in the body of Christ and encourage them to Christ-likeness. First group. Second group, non-believers. Like Jesus did with the woman at the well, or he did with the prostitute, is your phrase in your book, "Go and sin no more." Great compassion. And I've had a chance in pop music with different artists and in doing evangelistic outreaches. I think I'm the only Christian to speak at a World AIDS event in front of 8,000 transsexuals, transvestites, lesbians, and gays and share the gospel with them, and I got beat up for it afterwards. We show great patience for people that don't know Jesus, so they'll come to Christ. But there's a third group I think is very important here, brother, and I'd be interested in your feedback on this, is false teachers. We never see the Lord, after he gave seven woes of damnation to the Pharisees and hypocrites and scribes and Sadducees in Matthew 23, we never see the apostles kowtowing to a false teacher, desiring the conversation. Listen, with a wolf, you don't play footsie at Starbucks. You show them the door. You call them to repentance. You administer the truth of sound doctrine to their falsities. And if they repent, praise be to God. Listen, I don't want Benny to not see the light of the truth of the gospel. This is a man made in the image of a holy God, and we desire to see him saved and sanctified by Christ. But you can't hold on to these false doctrines and say, "I love the God of the Bible," when those doctrines don't originate or are in the God of the Bible. Truth means something. You know this. You stand for it. And it's why I love you and respect you. I'm just concerned that when we see false teachers, we don't see much negotiation scripturally, but we do with non-believers, great patience, love, and care. And with believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, young, brand-new Christians as well as seasoned veterans of the faith, We want to see them trained and come to the unity of the faith, as Paul says in Colossians 1, till every man is complete in Christ. I have no patience for a false teacher. After their own writings have been revealed from year to year that they have not repented. Listen, I am happy to take back everything that I have said on your broadcast about Mr. Hinn. If you show proactive, consistent teachings, video, audio, in writing, where he renounces these things and has fully repented of them, in fact, teaches now the contrary, teaches the biblical gospel than a prosperity gospel. I would love to see that, because God does not delight in the death of the wicked. So I hope that clarifies.
Yeah, absolutely. And the point I would raise, though, Steve, and I'll reply to your question, proposition on the other side of the break. I get ridiculed. I see the ridicule about fellow believers constantly. And they'll use it by saying, well, this is what's done with false teachers. I don't even see a broken heart for the lost that you expressed, that I commend. I don't see that.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm sure there's some theological differences in there somewhere, but there's so much that we agree upon. And, you know, and it's so crazy. You know, I was reading about the fruit of the Spirit, and then it talks about the deeds of the flesh and how the deeds of the flesh are dissension and division. And it's not what God wants.
That was Francis Chan speaking at International House of Prayer and dealing with objections he received to being with Mike Bickle. In fact, this is what Brandon House had to say about this.
Watching Francis Chan, watching his work with people like Rick Warren, and seeing that he's gone to IHOP praising Mike Bickle, you know, the Bible makes it very clear in 1 John that a true convert will persevere in the truth, that a true convert rejects false teaching and false teachers. And I'm going to say it. I think Francis Chan ought to seriously spend some time praying and searching his heart in God's Word as to whether he's really even saved.
My guest, Steve Camp. Now, Steve, I'm not attributing those words or sentiments to you, but
right,
this is what I'm running into constantly, and I would much rather say, okay, where there's false teaching, I've addressed it, I've rebuked it, I have separated from people over the years, we have excommunicated people from fellowships I've been involved with after reaching out to them and calling them to repent. I will absolutely differ with statements made by other leaders, but if that person, according to what I know, has professed faith in Jesus as Lord and is not walking in willful unrepentant sin, I may disagree with other aspects of their teaching. And look, I'm grieved over things that were said at Strange Fire. Terrible, horrific statements that about people I know and about the moving of the Spirit and mocking genuine worship from others. That grieves me. But I would never for a split second think of questioning the salvation of those involved. Now you have someone questioning whether Francis Chan is even saved. I'm not saying any of this to detract from your concerns about Benny Hinn. This is not subterfuge, straw man argument. I am simply raising this on the heels of the concern raised by Dylan. I see this constantly. It's so grievous. I could back my doctrines as well as anyone using Scripture and arguing for them, yet I recognize certain diversity within the body and certain things that are wrong that are within the body but still within the body. Put
no,
aside the Benny Hinn issue for a moment. Doesn't that, or I don't want to say doesn't, I want to ask you, does that mentality or what you just heard in that clip concern you?
Well, it concerns me that we do play the unregenerate card way too quickly. Even the Lord gave a admonition of not trying to uproot the tares, will do harm to the wheat. We know that they grow together, and in any church where there's truly regenerated, we also know there's non-regenerated that may say yes to Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Scripture. It's like the Lord said in Matthew 7, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but only those who do the will of my Father who's in heaven. And there's some that will say, I prophesied, I did miracles, I cast out devils. their idea, I guess, of what a great spiritual person should be able to do, and the Lord denounces it all as iniquity. Mm-hmm. Depart from me, I've never known you. Now, that's the Lord doing that, and I think we need to say that to people, that you don't want to receive that rebuke of the Lord. Similar to what we talked about at the beginning of the show an hour or so ago, notitia assensus fiducia. You know, there are certain things that we must believe for saving faith. We must also ascend that those things are true, but we also must then give our life of personal trust and reliance and submission to those things, the fiducia of that matter. I think what grieved me about Francis Chan being there is he was very quick to affirm. And there's a wonderful verse in Proverbs here, brother, I would direct your heart and mind to. And again, I'm not about to instruct you on anything of the Old Testament. You are brilliant in Old Testament theology. But a wonderful verse that I love out of Proverbs, chapter 20, in verse 25, and I think it's germane to our discussion here. It says this: it is a snare to say rashly, it is holy, and to reflect only after making vows. Now here's Francis. I've never met him, read his books, listened to him multiple times, but he had said previous to that quote that you gave, that clip, that he had just met Mike Bickle that day. He had hung out with him, so to speak, had some conversation. And so his conclusion, after just a few minutes with him, in front of a crowd of young people that are part of Bickle's ministry, in front of several thousand, which I can only say Chan was dancing at this point, was that, man, I love this guy. I love this guy's heart. He's awesome. He's fantastic. How could he make that conclusion so rashly after just spending a few minutes with him? Why not say, you know what, I've had hesitations on being here. I've heard several things. I'm here to preach to you the Word of God, and on that way we'll go. I'm getting to know Mike. I don't know what to think about him yet, but I'm getting to know him, but I'm here to preach the gospel to you and to call you, if you don't know Jesus, to repentance.
All right,
just think there's a quickness to affirm people, and I thought Francis looked foolish in doing so. He knows better than that, and all I could conclude was there's not an audience he won't play up to in order to gain their favor, because that's exactly
what he did. Now, that's a serious judgment on your part beyond the evidence. You have no idea if in a few minutes he had an absolute witness in his heart that stuff he had been told about Mike was false. I mean, up to what you're saying, I understand that, but to say why he did it, but you can't judge. You don't know the motivation of his heart in doing it. That's where I'd say you crossed the line. But hey, look, bear in mind, I've addressed you as brother, and I've called you Pastor Steve. Are you genuinely a pastor? I don't know. I only found you were in Orlando. I thought you were somewhere else. I don't know anyone in your flock. I've not investigated that. I don't know if your songs were, and I don't believe this for a second, okay? But I don't know that your songs were not written to make you famous and make money, and you don't believe a word of it. But based on what I understand of your testimony and profession, I welcome you this way and refer to you this way. And I'm always going to be honoring in that respect. As for what Francis Chan did, I appreciate your perspective. I would just differ with when you say why you think he did it. Let's return to this subject, though, of if you hold to an orthodox gospel of salvation, but you believe that God will bless you with financial prosperity as you give, is that another gospel? Does that damn you to hell? All right, that's the discussion we'll take up with Steve Camp. I so appreciate him being on the air. I appreciate his graciousness and forthrightness and clarity of thought, even in the midst of the few minor disagreements thus far we have had. Friends, as we've talked a lot about grace in recent weeks, many people have been drawn back to my book, Go and Sin No More. We have heard amazing testimonies, including someone that fell away from the Lord, having been burned out by legalism and wrong teaching, read the book, repented, and came back to the Lord. I believe the book will greatly impact you. We have it together with a series of audio messages I gave on this to listen to on your computer MP3 player. Together, $40 postage paid, but yours for your gift of any size. Just give as you're able to help us, and we want to send this to you for your gift of any size. 1-800-278-9978. The book and the CD. 1-800-278-9978. 888-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, if you'll go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just search for the word prosperity, you will find an article I wrote in 1990 called The Prosperity Trap. It was in my book, How Saved Are We? 1989, I wrote the book, End of the American Gospel Enterprise. And the gospel and greed, gospel exploitation is something I've renounced for years. You know, for years we give offers on our radio broadcast, and of course I've never received a dime of personal income through them. When I wrote my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War, that was released in conjunction with The Call DC, September 2nd of 2000, organized by my friends Cheon and Lou Engel, we gave away. God graciously supplied, and we graciously were able to give away more than 70,000 copies of the book. And for most of my ministry, wouldn't receive royalties on any writings. I was finally rebuked to do it because I didn't have a dime, well, still in a retirement account. I said, fine, if God blesses us, we can use it towards that. That's fine. So I don't relate to a lot of the junk that's out there personally. I want to get a message out. I absolutely burn to get a message out. I burn when I write books and things, I burn to get them out. But I don't burn to make money off them. I burn to get the books out so the books will touch lives. That's why I write them. However they can be multiplied to touch the maximum number of people, so be it. And I want to start with a note of affirmation and agreement. Steve, as one that was in the gospel music industry in a way beyond anything I can imagine, you've made some really strong statements and stands about that. I just want to give you, we've got a couple minutes more in this opening segment, this platform to speak your heart on the separation of gospel and greed, and maybe even some of the manifesto statements you put out years ago about these things. But you can speak to this as well as anyone because of your background and because of knowing the inside of an industry far better than I do.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, brother. I came out with a document called the 107 Theses, to parody Luther's 95 Theses. I wasn't trying to better Luther by adding an additional 12. I just had more ground to cover than papal indulgences.
Uh-huh.
So the Christian music industry had been consumed by basically three large major national corporations, conglomerates. And I believe it's a violation of what the Apostle Paul calls of being unequally yoked in 2 Corinthians 6:14-7:1. Of trying to link Christ with Belial, righteousness with unrighteousness, lawlessness with godliness, and a believer with a non-believer in a spiritual ministry or enterprise. At that time, the head of EMI, who discovered Garth Brooks and other artists, came up to me at a country music party, and he said, "You're the young man causing me trouble, aren't you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And they said, "Well, I fixed country music. I can fix gospel music." And I told him, I said, "Sir, we don't need your money. God is not short of resources to get his material out and so forth. But I said, you need the gospel. You need the Lord." And I put out this document. We sent out about 10,000 copies around the country into radio stations. Even a lot of what we would classify as non-Christian or secular artists affirmed it. It was just taking on the industry. In 94, I stopped charging for ministry. I went on offerings only, the CDs at the concerts. If someone couldn't afford a suggested donation price, they could just take it for free. We wanted to get away from this, from the money-driven aspect of a commercial venture by a non-Christian world thinking that they could make gospel the new country. And so this was taken as a stand on that. I really believe that ministry should be free of charge. Freely we've received, freely we should give. And I even believe at the major Orthodox conferences out there that charge $200, $300 a person to come, throw the doors open for free. Let people learn of the Lord and not make it a prerequisite of money for ministry. And that was the heart behind that at that time.
Got it. All right. loud and clear. I appreciate that. We come back to the specific question. Can you believe God prospers you financially as you give and be saved?
Fire we want, for fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire today. It has been a joy and an honor to get to speak with Pastor Steve Camp. Over the last hour and a half, we were having some exchanges on social media. He gave me his phone number. I gave him mine, but in the business of life, neither had called the other yet, but he did have concerns and issues he wanted to raise concerning me appearing on TV with Benny Hinn. And I said, great, if you'd like to do it on the air, let's do it. And I trust for those on all sides of the issue that you found the discussion edifying and helpful. So Steve, let me mention a few verses and then let's try to focus in on this very specific issue. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all or your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will burst forth with new wine. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, as Paul is actually talking about finance and supply, and he does say those who preach the gospel should make their living by the gospel. He does not say get rich by the gospel, but make their living by the gospel. And he says that those who sow sparingly reap sparingly, those who sow generously reap generously, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 as well. Jesus in Luke 6, given it will be given you. Various verses like that. I tell people as they give, and I agree that the tithe is not obligatory in the New Testament. It's a good practice of discipline and giving the first fruits, but it's not a New Testament obligation. But I teach as you give to genuine gospel ministries, number one, you store up treasure in heaven. Number two, you participate in the winning of the lost and touching other lives. And number three, that as you're generous to the Lord and to others, God will be generous to you, and that can come in 100 different ways. I believe that. I know some will preach a more specific financial gain as you give message. But in your view, is that a damnable doctrine that if someone, I don't believe it. I don't believe it's damnable. If someone says that as you give financially, God blesses you financially, I say there can be a wrong emphasis with it. It can cater to carnality, etc. But that's different from saying Jesus died on the cross to make you rich, which is damnable heresy. So where do you draw the line? I'm making clear where I'd stand on that. Where do you draw the line in your understanding?
Yeah, I'm similar. I think in 3 John also there's an excellent verse here. It says, you know, you do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like this, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. As you know, the heretics back in the day would hit the streets with bags to load their pockets with money. And you know, John is encouraging them here to say, hey, support those that took not the money bag with them. Let them be supported. And it literally meant in that culture to have a knapsack full of food and some fresh clothes and some, you know, modest means financially so they could provide for themselves. And I think that that's the role of servanthood. You know, Paul calls himself in 1 Corinthians 4 the original homeless. So something of financial prosperity certainly wasn't given over to Paul, the greatest apostle and pastor of the church.
Nor do I believe that Jesus walked around rich and wore designer underwear.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And he had no place to lay his head. The fox had had hold, the bird had nest. But, you know, there was a life of simplicity and of humility there. I would say this, just one addendum to what you said, brother, is that when someone takes a gospel of prosperity and it's not, support your local church, give as a matter of worship, give sacrificially, give voluntarily, and give hilariously. Give with joy to the Lord, and whether he gives you a dime back or nothing back or $1 million back is irrelevant. It's an aspect of worship in our giving of our offerings to the Lord. The Word Faith Prosperity guys don't do this. First of all, they don't emphasize local church. Second of all, they don't emphasize voluntary. They lord it over.
Just to interrupt, there are tons of Word of Faith churches and pastors and teachers, I would disagree with a bunch of things that are talked. You're talking about some of the major TV ministries who are Word of Faith.
Yes.
Just to be clear.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Thank you
go
for
ahead.
That help. That's a good clarification.
No, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So when that happens, when I hear Mr. Hinn recently through Steve Muncy or through his own selling of the prayer shawls and so forth, which I know you don't agree with, but here, ask for $300 for a financial miracle. 2014, it's all over Benny's site. This is the year of favor with the Lord. With favor, just put a big dollar sign through it. He is asking for financial breakthrough and blessing. He's been quoted, what do I need gold in heaven for? I want it while I'm on the ground. I mean, hey, his private jet, is it Dove 1 or Dove 2? Cost millions of dollars. He feels like he needs that to do ministry. Therefore, he does this. When I lived in Nashville, the TBN network, I had guys working over there that became friends, and they were like, we had to leave when they were buying sinks, just a sink for a bathroom worth $30,000. What I'm saying is the health, wealth, prosperity isn't teaching, use your offerings as an act of worship before the Lord for whatever he may give you. Worship him. Like Job said, yet though I he slay me, I will hope in him. We want to give up all rights to ourselves here and not demand anything from the Lord. The health, wealth, prosperity guys demand it. They will almost declare with an unholy obstinance to the Spirit of God or to the Lord Jesus Christ or to God the Father of what they deem are automatic promises to a healthier, wealthier life here, and that if you don't get it, you didn't have the faith. I've met Benny years ago and talked to him. I've met Oral Roberts, before he died, and was at his campus when he said the Shekinah glory is going to descend and you're going to have miracles. And I leaned over to his right-hand man. I said, did you see the Shekinah glory of God? Did you get a miracle? He goes, no, I hate it when he says things like this. It gets us in so much trouble. These men make these inflammatory, explosive statements, but it's if you give to them. Isn't this interesting, Michael, that if you give to Benny the $300, then you get your breakthrough? This is the problem. The emphasis of money is for self, and that is never in Scripture. There's a lording over, and they prey on people that don't have much money, convincing them that if they have enough faith and give to their organization or whatever, they will get their breakthrough. You reinvent, at that point, you reinvent the work of the Godhead, because they're tying it to that. You reinvent the gospel because they're saying these things were promised in the atonement. That's a dangerous thing. Your healing, physical healing, and your financial prosperity was guaranteed in the atonement. When we know Isaiah 53, 3 and 4 was fulfilled in Matthew 8 before the Lord on carrying diseases and infirmities, meaning he was just healing demon-possessed people and had done healing. That was affirmed and fulfilled in our Lord's ministry before the cross. By his stripes we are healed does not refer to financial deficits or to the curing the common cold or cancer. It refers to the great sickness of sin that was dealt with by our Lord and Savior upon the cross. He took the guilt, the penalty, the wrath of God against our sin so that we might have peace with God forever. There's a big difference there. They use these verses that are to the atonement to justify their percentage of the cash that they feel is coming to them based on people sowing into their ministry. That's why, and if it was hard for some people to hear, I put up a post the other day that said, hey, I just had a vision that Benny is to make a huge seed gift. Can someone get word to him? Glory. Wouldn't this be great? Well, I was just joking, using sarcasm. I know that's hard for some to hear, but it goes to the ludicrous of the statements that they use to convince people and even manipulate them for the sake of financial gain. Listen, that is not consistent with the ministry of our God, that is not of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is not consistent with the apostles or who they gave their ministries to, like young Timothy. Suffering, repentance, persecution, maintaining the gospel, preaching it with a bold conviction, as you do, Michael, as praise God by his grace, I will continue to do, that our mutual friend James White does and others. This is something that is preeminent. It's not about the money. It's not about financial fame. It's not about our glory. It's not about developing methodological teachings that have to be is supported by a nefarious, unsound doctrine in order to support the methodology. That's my biggest concern here. My only concern for you, brother, is do the due diligence before you went on, because why would a godly man like you, and this is not going to motive, it just pained me to see a dear brother in Christ who's written wonderful Orthodox books, you know, with a guy who I believe is a false teacher, and you're right, you didn't high-five him, he's high-fiving you. I think he was taking the name of the Lord in vain by using God or the phrase Christ Almighty as a throwaway, as a swear term. This is not the fruit of a faithful brother in Christ, and only God knows the state of his heart, but that was the driving passion for you in this issue, and I hope that that biblically is coming through clear this afternoon.
All right, Steve, thank you for articulating that. I want to respond to a couple of statements and try to get to a call or two before we're done.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks, friends, for joining us. And to my delightful surprise, I've had this extra time with pastor and songwriter Steve Camp through almost 2 hours now. Whatever you missed of the broadcast, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just click on Latest Audio later today. Also, to watch the actual interviews I did with Benny Hinn, 4 of the 5 that we shot have been aired so far. Just go to my website, click on Latest Video, watch the shows, and you can come to your own conclusions about the content and the wisdom or lack of wisdom in terms of my appearing. Steve, just before I give a quick response, and I want to grab a few quick calls once we're done as well, how do folks stay in touch with you? Where's your blog? How can they follow what you're doing?
Oh, thank you. Yes, primarily through our church website. It's called The Cross Church. Our web address is crosschurch.net. And then also I have a blog called Camp on This. And if you Google Camp on This, you'll see that. But I try to direct things to the local church. You can hear weekly sermons and Bible studies and things. If you're ever in the Treasure Coast area, we'd love to have you visit us and participate in worship with us.
All right, wonderful. And again, I appreciate you taking the time to be on. I'm going to send you, actually, for your love gift of $1,000. No, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you my book, Israel's Divine Healer. It's an in-depth scholarly book, but I'm sure you'll have no problem handling it, where I will present some different ways of understanding the Isaiah 53, Matthew 8 passages as well. So I want to send you that for your study and consideration. And when I was on the Inspiration Network, when I had a show called Think It Through, when I signed the contract, I signed it saying that I would be exempt from telethons and fundraising events because I had concerns that there might be people on that I differed with or methods I differed with. So I was released from that by contract and have refused to be on various shows over the years. Again, a major factor for me was people that I knew well, that I trusted, who had been with Benny Hinn constantly over a couple of years and assured me he shared various same concerns that I shared, preached a clear gospel, and felt it was important to get to know each other. When I had to be in Orlando 2 days later and was invited with about 3 days' notice to be on the air with him, I thought it was a providential door to walk through. And I felt also, even though there could be initial criticism, and I stupidly posted on social media in a way that just provoked more controversy. I apologized for it. It was a stupid way to start things and only produced more controversy. I feel that there could be some long-term redemptive things that come out of it, and I don't mind the initial criticism, and although I do mind the way I played into it with some of my social media posts, that was an error on my end. So that I've apologized for on the air and in writing as well. But I wanted to give you the opportunity to present these issues, to lay them out clearly, and then we will all move forward in the fear of the Lord together. But thanks, brother, for coming on and sharing all this. I do hope you feel that you were able to get out your concerns.
Yeah, and just do I have like 30 seconds for a quick closing
thought? Yes, you do.
Thought?
Absolutely. Please, please.
One of the things, Michael, that I would just say is in the world's political realm, we hear the phrase, the devil's in the details. For Christianity, it's just the opposite. God is in the details. He's in the specifics of sound doctrine and a biblical gospel. The false teachers today are offended when you press them on the details of what they teach. They have become the masters of the proof text. And I would say this, that with anyone, let's be faithful Bereans, measure what they say with the truth of Scripture. But if you deal just in, I know we're trying to focus on Benny Hinn in this broadcast here. I just pray that you'll look at the details of his theology, because God is in the details, and I think you'll find a vacuous theology that is the master of the proof text. And I thank you for allowing me to be on this broadcast, and thank you for the books you've put out and the continued defense of the gospel. I'll be praying for you and James as you're in Spain, I think it is soon, isn't it?
Yes, in a couple of days to have some debates.
Yeah, in that ministry. So thank you. I appreciate this. I hope this isn't our last time to visit, and I would covet your prayers from the ministry here and for our church. And if you're ever through this area, you are welcome here as our friend and brother in Christ.
Well, thank you, dear brother. I appreciate it. Thanks for being on the air. And by all means, let's continue to get to know each other, move forward. And trust me, I will have an eager eye on details as well. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Let me just try to grab a call or two. Thanks so much for holding from Canada, Larace. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing
actually,
fine, thanks.
One of those weird names. Anyway.
Yeah, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Catch the whole program. I just want to hear you say, do you consider Benny Hinn to be a faithful teacher of God's Word?
Oh, no, I don't know him well enough to say that. What I said is, based on the time I had with him off the show and on the show, I found him to be a sincere believer, very serious about the Word and about Jesus. However, there are lots of charges about things he teaches. I don't know what he currently does and doesn't teach, and I've promised if we have continued relationship to look into those things and to interact with him. So that's what I have said. Yes.
Yeah, I think you should either go on his website, watch a couple of YouTube videos, see some of his quotes from some of his books, and then come on the air and say whether you think he's a faithful teacher or not.
Yeah, well, I haven't made statements. I appeared on a show with him. Why don't you watch those shows? All right. Let me encourage you to do that, to watch the shows. AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. If you go there, just click on latest video, and you'll see the first or second there, and then you can link to the others. Also, I've seen many quotes from him that were 20 years old or more, and he's since renounced. So I have to see what he currently holds to. I definitely differ with a number of fundraising techniques, without a doubt. But in our time together, basing things solely on that, that's what I have spoken of. Beyond that, I've never made a statement either way. But thank you for the call. I did want to get it in. Also, when I was on an interview with a Lutheran leader, Jordan Cooper, I erroneously said that Justin Peters, on the air with me, said that one reason he didn't believe Benny Hinn was saved was because Benny Hinn said before the fall, Adam could fly. Yes, he did say that. Benny Hinn did. But Justin Peters did not say that. It was another caller. I made the mistake of attributing it to Justin on the air with Jordan. I apologized to Justin privately, but wanted to do it publicly as well. It was another caller who had said that. Friends, I, with all of my heart, recommend to you my book, Go and Sin No More. It will give you a love for holiness and a hatred for sin and an appreciation for the beauty of holiness like nothing else I've written. We continually get responses from people who've been helped and changed by the book. And today you can get the book and an audio CD with MP3 files of more than 10 hours of teaching, normally $40 for the two postage paid. But today your gift of any size to help us in our work, we'll send this to you as a gift. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Again, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, Let us walk simultaneously in the truth of the Word and the fruit of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit as well.